A reading from the book of Acts. When Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers confronted him, saying, "You entered the house of uncircumcised people and ate with them." Peter began and explained it to them step by step. "Three men appeared at the house where we were, who had been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to accompany them without discriminating. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He related to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house, saying, 'Send someone to Joppa and summon Simon, who is called Peter, who will speak words with you, by which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as it had upon us in the beginning. And I remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift he gave to us when we came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to be able to hinder God?" The Word of the Lord. For almost a decade now, I have had the amazing privilege of spending a week or so every summer in northern Montana, not far from the border of Canada, on the Rocky Boy Reservation. The priest on the reservation, Father Pete, and his Dominican co-worker, Sister Kathleen, bring me in to work with an amazing group of local catechists by day. But at night, over elk pot roast or antelope tenderloin or something else that Pete has shot for himself, we get into these wonderful conversations about the history of the people in the area, including the history of Catholicism there. Pete and Kathleen have lived with the Native Americans of Montana for decades, and they know the history of the land, not just the broad sweeps of history given in textbooks, but the intimate memories spoken in sweat lodges and on deathbeds that give texture and nuance and complicate any simple tale. They have many stories of the church and the Indians, some predictably discouraging, some remarkably encouraging. Things that would make you proud, things that make you cringe. One story turns the history books on their heads. Father Pete tells of one local native population who, long before the missionaries had arrived in their part of the plain, had a vision. The elders, while praying, had seen a beautiful woman who told them to go down the Missouri River and find men in long black robes to bring back and to speak to them more about God and God's plan. This Indian nation sent a group of ambassadors by canoe downriver, looking for the Jesuits, long before the Jesuits ever went looking for them. I thought about these natives of the Montana Plains when reflecting on today's passage from Acts about Peter baptizing an uncircumcised household, named in the previous chapter as the household of the Gentile Cornelius. So often, when we tell the story of Christianity in broad sweeps, we tell the story of how the apostles went out from Jerusalem after Pentecost to share the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection to the ends of the earth. The church, set afire by God, proclaims the word, and people listen and change their lives, and we baptize them, and then the Holy Spirit can come into their lives as well. In the intimate patchwork memories of Acts, however, the storyline's a lot more messy. Peter hadn't gone out seeking Cornelius and his family. They were Gentiles, not the intended audience of the preaching mission of the early apostles, who thought the gospel was meant only for the Jews. But strangely, the Gentiles had come looking for Peter. After a vision from God, Cornelius sent his ambassadors out to find Peter in Joppa and bring him to the family home. At Cornelius's request, Peter begins to preach, but before he's even able to finish a paragraph, the Holy Spirit bursts into the scene and gives the Gentiles the gift of tongues, like the apostles had received at Pentecost. What is this? Everything's out of order. First, you're supposed to listen. Then you're supposed to get baptized with water. Then you get the Holy Spirit. That's the way it's supposed to happen. Jesus said so. Go, therefore, and make disciples of the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But then there's this God, so abundant, so full of love and excitement, so impatient to give gifts, that he can't wait for the disciples to get there. Can't even follow the order that he himself has issued. Can't wait for Christmas to give the present. Jumping up and down and giggling and flapping, rips the ribbon off himself because you just aren't unwrapping it fast enough. It's the Spirit. See, I've given you the Holy Spirit. And all that Peter can really do is throw up his arms. Who was I to be able to hinder God? He asks. As one of my friends is apt to say, that bush was burning before we got there. Or, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 1257, states in slightly more formal tone, God has bound salvation to the sacrament of baptism, but he himself is not bound by his sacraments. As someone involved in church life, I'm guessing that you already know how hard it is to have that God as a boss. A God who puts out a handbook that says, do it this way, but then never follows his own policies. A God who sends you on a mission and then zooms ahead and wraps it up before you get there. Your boat lands on what you believe to be virgin soil, and you find God has already consummated that relationship. And you throw up your arms and think, well, what? Okay, God, I guess we better baptize them. I guess we better confirm them. I guess we better absolve them. I guess we better anoint them. I guess we better, I'll leave it there because I'm sure you already get the picture. God has bound salvation to the sacraments, but he himself is not bound by them. And you could get irked at God's pattern of behavior, so generous, so merciful, so bubbling over, so impatient. Or you could laugh and join in the party and stay a few days. And if you've made it this far, I'm guessing that you're one who's learned, like Peter, just to laugh and join in the fun. Because really, is there any other God that you'd want to work for other than this one?